Welcome to the Talk Over podcast, a conversational platform for the DJs by the DJs, brought to you by Double and Stylus.
Swag.
Tune in every week to hear us talk about all the things we see, hear and experience as DJs. Don't forget to subscribe to the channel by simply searching Talk Over podcast on either Spotify or Apple Music.
You sound excitable today, bro.
I don't know why, because I'm not. Joke.
Has your body clock gone back to being a bit nocturnal?
Yeah, I had a phase at the start where I was like, oh, come on then, early nights, let's have a bit of this. Let's see what it feels like on the other side. I was going to bed at like mid, I was in bed for half 11s, asleep for like midnight. Now I'm back on 5 a.m. studio finishes.
I did that the other day. So I worked on, obviously, you know, like every year I do the summer mixtape. I didn't do one in 2020 because 2020.
Guy was tweeting about dropping a summer 2020 mix in January 2021.
Basically, just for
banter. Worst things have happened this year, mate. Last year, even.
Well, just for banter, I was going to drop the 2020 summer mixtape this week. But I did drop it. I just didn't call it the summer mixtape because I thought, actually, you know what? If I call it the summer mixtape, people are going to think it's dated, innit? They're not going to listen because they think it's like last year.
Bro, this year's been that backwards, mate. I don't think anyone would even be surprised if they've seen a summer mix for 2020 in January.
It was, I didn't think about it. I dropped the mix. I just called it something different. But yeah, I was working on it. I have a proper ritual that I go through when I do my big mixtapes, my annual mixtape. And it's like, it ends up in an all-night studio session. Like a proper... I've got my food in here.
When you're doing them yearly mixes, bro, it takes that much, man, because there's so much music to go through.
Mm.
And then...
But, I mean, I'll work in the studio overnight. I'll be in here until 6 in the morning when the sun's up and everyone's getting up for work and I'm just finishing shit off. And then I go to bed. It was different this time around. I only stayed up till 4 working on it.
Okay. But, to be fair, you say 4 a.m. and it's like...
Yeah, only 4.
Yeah, but 4 o'clock to us, though, in the DJ world is like some set. I won't finish the club sometimes till 4.
Mm.
So then by the time you hit the road, you get home. I was having breakfast when I got in from the club at one point.
Bro, I was on a Tuesday night. I would finish the club at 4 a.m. on a Tuesday.
Yeah, that's, it's peaking.
That's how wild that seems now. I think this is bringing out the middle-aged man in me a little bit now. The lockdown. So I'm thinking, on a Tuesday? I was out till that late on a Tuesday.
Bro, when you look back at it, it's pretty mad, isn't it? Like, this was... My latest night was a Wednesday night, and I'd get home at 5:30.
Yeah.
And then I'd have breakfast with the missus before she went to work.
Yeah.
She'd go to work, and I'd have the whole bed to myself. Bliss.
Madness. The good old days.
Bliss.
The good old days.
I feel... go on.
Well, I was about to say, talking of not the good old days, I'll show you this. Anyone listening won't be able to see this, but anyone watching will. I had... Oh, I don't think I can move the laptop. Damn it. I had a leak out of the studio roof. Can you see that?
Bro, why does your roof look so dirty, G?
Bro, because it rained last week.
I've been wiping his batty on the ceiling.
It rained... No. It rained last week, bro. There was a huge pool of water above that. So that's the ceiling... of the studio. Between the ceiling and the actual roof, there's about a foot gap where there's all insulation, you know, all the fluffy stuff to keep it warm. And it's that section of the ceiling's filled up with water. And last week, part of the ceiling collapsed and there was water coming through the lights. It was disgusting, bro.
That's what happens when you do a botch job.
Excuse me. This is not a botch job.
I'm joking, man. I'm joking. To be fair, when you sent me that video and the water was coming out of the lights, like someone was taking a leak on your roof.
Bro, it was pouring out the light. Right, all over the decks, all over the mixer. It was so bad, I didn't even take the time to do an Insta story about it.
Yeah, some things are best left off the story, mate.
But, so yeah, that was my adventure so far this year. The studio roof has collapsed.
Is it fixed now? Yeah.
No.
No, bro.
If it rains again, it's going to happen again. I'm just waiting. I won't bore you with the details, but I can't fix it just yet.
Well, you're lucky you're not in Manny, mate, because the heavens have been open all day, bruv. It's been pissing it down. Thank God. Thank God I'm in a bomb-proof container.
As soon as it rains again here, it's game over if I don't get this fixed.
There's no water getting in here, cuz.
Yeah, it was a problem. But anyway, that's how my year started.
Bro, do you know how I feel right now, yeah? I feel like I don't know what day it is, what week it is, what year we're in. We've just had a new year. It feels weird. I don't know what, like, today's a Monday. It feels like a I don't know, like a Wednesday or a Thursday or something. I don't,
you know what?
All my days are backwards right now.
I can make it relatable. You know that time in between Christmas and New Year where everybody, no matter who you are, no matter where you work, you don't know what day it is.
The week of nothingness.
Exactly. The week of food. It's just a week of food and drink, basically. And you do nothing from Christmas through to New Year, and you don't know what day of the week it is. You just know it's 3 days till New Year or 2 days or whatever. That's how I feel now. It didn't stop after New Year. Just the not knowing what day it is just carried on.
Yeah, it's definitely carried on. I think the way it fell this year as well with... was New Year's Eve on a... Was it a Friday night this year?
Don't know.
Or was it a Thursday?
Oh, it was a Thursday. It was a Thursday.
So if we was all working... Yeah, the Thursday... Yeah, it fell weird this year. It fell over the weekends, innit? So Friday was Christmas Day. New Year's Day.
Christmas Day, New Year's Day, yeah.
It was on Fridays. Friday. Yeah, that's a bit mad. Yeah. Anyway.
So
New Year's Eve in the crib this year, mate.
New Year's Eve in the crib. Yeah.
It was shit. I'm not gonna lie, man.
We can all relate to that. Probably for a lot of people, New Year is the highest paid night of the year, isn't it?
Yeah, it definitely is, man. Like. Not even the peas, bro, but just not doing anything. Like, this, without giving my age away, that was like my... put it this way, it's way over 10. It's way over 10 years. I've not had a New Year's Eve off since I was old enough to DJ in a club. So, like, that was my very, very first New Year's Eve in the yard since being a teenager.
Wow, it was at least 25 years ago.
What a bell. So yeah, just being in the crib, man. I was grumpy on New Year's Eve.
I was a bit, actually, to be honest.
I was grumpy, man, which is a bit tight on the wifey because we don't spend it together, innit? So we're in the yard on New Year's Eve and I'm just like, oh.
Just sat there pissed off. Oh, I've got to spend New Year's Eve fucking with you. I want to be in the club.
I'd rather do what I do every year, get the paycheck and go on holiday in January, because that's what I do every year. Normally, yeah. It's a graft all through this, from a graft from September to through to New Year, stack, and then January I always normally just bounce for 2-3 weeks traveling, or I mean try and have a little bit of a holiday this
I
year.
I was the opposite. January used to be work mode for me. I used to kind of take time off between Christmas and New Year would be like kickstart in work mode, and then January would be straight into it. But 2 years ago, was when I went to Thailand for a few weeks in January. And then last year, pretty much took January off. I went to Prague for a bit. And yeah, would have been nice to do the same this year, but obviously can't travel. It's a bit weird.
How are you feeling about the DJ situation now, bro? After 9 months of nothing.
I feel like I need to do something. I'm doing my mixes, which is cool because it's keeping the rust away and it's kind of keeping me one foot in with the music. But I feel like I need to do something else now, like DJ-wise.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah, but it might get to a point. This sounds super extreme, but it might get to a point where the people that were going to the clubs before mostly can't be bothered anymore. And all the people that were too young are now old enough. So, like, it literally might be a complete shift in audience. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I hear that.
Especially in the spots where it's, like, definite 100% in the student spots. Imagine this goes on for another year. That's 2 years worth of students that will not have been to the student nights.
Yep, so like, true stories.
Yeah, it's just... it sounds like a really extreme example, but it really could happen. Like, the audience could completely
Is it going to go on that long where people just go off going clubbing? Like,
Bruv, I don't know.
Realistically, we could be here till the end of the year again.
Bruv, it could be summer next year I don't know. I don't know. Like, there's so much information out there. Everyone's saying something.
Who's got the answers, man?
Sway.
Somebody.
Where's Sway when you need him?
Someone bell Sway and ask him when we can DJ again.
No, he ain't got the answers. But yeah, I don't know. It's a weird one. It's weird. But I do feel like I need to, this age old topic, I need to get the live streams going.
I think I mentioned it to you before. Jazzy Jeff was on the Beat Source pod, and he was with Spider, and he was saying, like, for the people that are sat there and are maybe thinking, oh, we'll just wait till it goes back to normal, yeah, or if you're not feeling the streaming or whatever, like, maybe the club manager you're working for or the promoter that is hiring you, if you're not doing anything and you're not active in any way, like, these people are probably eyeing up your replacements. Do you know what I mean? If they're not watching you, they're watching your replacement kind of thing.
They're watching somebody, yeah.
So I was kind of like, I hear that. I hear that still. But then I feel like everyone's in different situations, innit, man? It's a testing time, bro. Not just, like, financially, mentally, in all the aspects. Like, I know I was on one with the streams, but then out of nowhere, I just wasn't feeling doing anything. And, like, only now, after being a couple of months off it, I've semi got the bug back again. It's like you say, bro, these times are new for everybody, innit? So get what he's saying. I get what Jazzy Jeff's saying.
It would be a case, if he's right, do you think it would be a case of, when the lockdown finishes, do you think any new DJs that have no club experience whatsoever will suddenly get into it, and suddenly will we see a rise in, like, brand new DJs popping up on the scene? Or will it be the guys who have grafted the most that suddenly clean up with a lot of the work? And then other people, like me, for example, like, I feel like I'm working because I'm working on other stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm not out there. I guess, I'm probably a bad example because I am doing regular mixes. So, and the promoters that I deal with and club owners and stuff, they message me about it. So I know they're listening. But okay, so for example, someone who's not live streaming, not doing mixes and that, do you think those DJs will get left behind? Or do you think it will...
I think it'll boil down to relationships then. Mm-hmm. And how tight you are with the people that you're already working with. But like you say, if you keep yourself in the shop window, I've seen people that have been active and on it, and they're getting booked by all sorts of brands, and they're being able to move into different avenues, isn't it? I do think if you're not doing anything, then it just boils down to how tight you are with the people that you're working with, and if they're going to keep you in mind when everything goes back to normal, because it's going on that long now. It's easy to start questioning yourself. Oh shit, I'm even going to get that spot back.
If it
stays open, or is next man going to come in, or, like, we don't know where it's going to go, innit? I definitely think the people that are working and grafting harder will be in a better position on the other side of it. But there's DJs that have come through in lockdown that maybe weren't making as much noise beforehand.
Oh yeah, 1,000%.
And are now shining. Like, there's definitely a bunch of DJs that I didn't expect that have come through. Not that I didn't expect, actually, but just didn't see it coming, that have made the most noise. Do you know what I mean? So it is
inspiring to see that there's a lot of guys who they literally have, like, taken the bull by the horns, basically, and just gone with it. Mm-hmm. And especially, but my only thing is, the majority of people that I've seen doing the most in terms of their activity is on IG Live.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem for me is, I'm like, I look at it and I think, for right now, for today, that's cool. But what's the future?
Mm-hmm.
Like, where are you building that? Why are you building that audience on the Instagram? You're just building it. You're not using the Instagram to put it somewhere that you can monetize it, or you can turn those customers or those listeners into some sort of monetized thing. So what by that, I mean, like,
Silk's managed to do it with his.
What's he done?
Obviously, he's built his Instagram up, like yeah. tremendously, man. His interaction, like his lives, everything. And then the last like few months, I've seen him moving his USB sticks.
Okay.
With mixes on and mm-hmm. going off what I've seen, he's selling hundreds of them, bro.
Sick.
So it's like, that's a good way. So I mean, that's semi-monetizing and it's bringing him income.
So that's a perfect example of what I was questioning. So, okay, that's sick because he's using Instagram to build up a customer base.
He's shifting them, bro, as well. And he's like, yo, they've sold out. And then there's a next batch, sold out, next batch.
Amazing.
And then I think he posted a picture on his gram and he's got his whole table is full of stuff that he's mailing out in the post.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's great to hear, man, because it means, okay, cool. Everyone's putting all this energy into IG, but there you go. There's a way out of it where you can actually flip that round and turn that customer base into money. I mention it a lot, yeah, and I know it sounds like I come across like, oh, well, don't do that unless there's money involved. But my point in questioning it is, cool, if you've got 3,000 people on your Instagram live, that's great, and that's amazing, but 3,000 people means nothing when lockdown's over and everyone's back in the clubs and you've got 50 people in your life.
For DJs at the minute, like, you still have to generate, like, we still have bills to pay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, 100%. we still have to generate income in some way or another.
Yeah.
Especially for the people that are still sticking it out and you know what I mean, still wanting to be a DJ on the other side of this. It's all good having your side hustles, but reality is 80% of our income has gone in the bin. So... I'm thinking of, like, obviously, normally you would flip it into, I don't know, event sales or, do you know what I mean, people coming out to see you play and whatever. Obviously, that's all in the bin right now, so you've got to be semi-clever with it. And
Silk's
the only one I've seen, or then...
No, I've seen Day-Day. I know Day-Day's been... I think he does CDs. I think and the impression I get is that he does a lot of CDs, which is great.
Yeah, so, Day-Day's been doing that since way before all this, though.
Yeah, so I was going to say, whether that comes off the fact that he's been really, really active on Insta, I don't know.
He did a paid stream as well on New Year. So he set up a private Instagram, and then you had to pay like a fiver to get accepted.
Yeah.
And then just through like a limited edition shubs. So like there's other ways to do it.
Which, by the way, I will say that's how I said... all DJs should be streaming from the start of lockdown. If you go back and listen to our first one after the lockdown started, that's what I said should be the key. Everyone's set up.
It's putting the work in, isn't it, and building it to that point where there's a little bit of a demand and then you can be like, okay.
Yeah.
This and that. Like, I did a little vote on my Insta the other week about bringing them back or doing a little something, and like, everyone wants it. It's just flipping... I've got to be in the right place in the head up, like, to stand in front of a camera and yap on a mic. And I've just not been feeling it, mate. Like, no. I'm not going to lie.
Do you think it's one of those things where once you get into it, you get into it more?
Yeah, 100%.
Like, as soon as the ball's... You just got to kick the ball, brother. As soon as the ball's rolling, like, you're gone.
That's the thing. It's all mental, man, because I remember having, like, a sick, like, creative block and I wasn't really... It was before I got my turntables and I just wasn't even wanting to turn them on.
Yeah.
But then the one or two times I'd flick them on, I'd be like, yo, it's gassy again.
Yeah. You know what I reckon you should do for those days, yeah? Sorry, this idea's just literally popped into my head. You know when you have like, and this is for everybody, I guess. You know when you have like super creative days and you might make like a bunch of playlists for mixes that you're going to do?
Mm-hmm.
You know what's worth doing? This is for the DJs that would live stream. Have a bunch of playlists or a bunch of ideas ready. Just sit them on the sideline. Just put them in a crate there. I'm just going to use them. Like 4 or 5 for when you have that creative block.
Okay.
Because then what you can do is you can just jump on your live stream. And when you are at your most creative, you can literally just go through the playlist. Like, people watching don't care if you didn't make it up on the spot there and then.
Yeah, true stories.
It's about the output, really, isn't it?
I always find when I do that, though, and then I get into the vibe on the stream, it never goes that way, innit?
But then that's a beautiful thing, because if you're not feeling it and you've got no creativity, if you jump on and just start following the blueprint that you left when you were creative, then if your brain wakes up and you're like, oh shit, yeah, I could do this and do that, there you go, you've got past the creative block. If not, the worst thing that's going to happen is you're just going to go through the playlist that you'd already created.
Yeah, I hear that. I hear that. The creative block's a bitch, man.
Yeah, like, fully.
When you get that, you start questioning everything. You do?
Yep.
Like, you don't even think about stuff the same anymore. Like, you've really got, like, it's so easy to get stuck in a rut. Yeah. Like, it's mad.
But again, I think we touched on this a little bit last week. Another thing that really, really is detrimental when you have the creative block is then spending too much time on social media.
Yeah, true.
Because you end up with your block. So then you end up on social media and you realise, oh shit, everyone else is moving. Everyone else is doing numbers. Everyone else is signing deals and getting fucking radio show appointments.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely done this.
Fully. So I think it is one of those things, isn't it? Like, when you get that creative block, you need to persevere, but you need to shut off or at least restrict what you're doing in other things.
Yeah. I hear that.
How do you get past creative blocks? Do you just literally sit it out and wait till it comes? Or do you fight it?
Some, do you know what? It's different every time. Sometimes I'll just sit it out and be like, yeah, I'm just not having a good time right now. Mm. And just kind of allow it. Other times I could just be watching something inspirational. Yeah. Or I tend to go and watch DJ sets online, stuff that I fuck with, like maybe it's a Puffy freestyle set or something like that. Mm. And I'll watch it and it'll be like, and then I'll get a bug back for it. Do you know what I mean? Like I tend to plug into other people's creativity to like re-spark my own kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because sometimes when I get that block, I'll cut off from everything and I won't watch nothing and I'll just be in my head like, oh, fucking hell, the world's ending. and if I plug into something that's creatively dope, that semi-inspires me to want to go and turn the decks on, bro. I'm not going to lie. Like, since I went back to the Reins, I felt like I was 18 again on Technics.
That's good.
Like, just getting that feel back for mixing and just, I don't know, man. Like, just going back to my roots in it. I think I got somewhere in the middle of all the tech and that, I got lost. So for me, it was just going back to the original art form that made me wanted to get into this in the first place, which was mixing vinyl and being on turntables and scratching and being more hands-on, less looking at the screen, more using my ears.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, man. But I feel like it's different. It's different every time. Sometimes I'll just allow it and not do nothing for weeks.
Really? Not do nothing
at all, but I'll just like unplug for a little minute. And then let my brain like re-energize and come back again. Because, bruv, even without working, this lockdown shit's been draining. And we're not even spinning. Yeah. Because normally when you're on the go 24/7, interview here, podcast here, gig here, content here, creating a mix. Like now, like your head's just running at 100 mile an hour and your body's moving at 10.
Yeah. Yeah, fully.
You know what I mean? So
you know what I've managed to do actually, I've found this most recently because I had a creative block, not as bad as I usually get it because I was still able to do mixes and stuff. But what I've done with it, oh shit, excuse me.
Oh dearie,
that's so bad. What I've done with it this time is I've actually created like a content plan. So I've written like a diary basically to the end of March of all the content that I'm going to record and what dates I'm releasing it on what platforms.
Okay.
So obviously we've done it for the Podclart, but I have a full mix calendar for my Mixcloud account, and I'm at the moment working on the release schedule for my YouTube channel as well.
Okay, sick.
Do you know what I mean? So that I've got basically... I'm not winging it in any sense. Not that I would actually. Yeah, I kind of would wing it in the past because I'd just turn the decks on and be like, "Oh, well, what can I mix today?" Da, 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 da. But this time I've actually fully planned it. But what it's enabled me to do is I had a bit of a non-creative day the other day, so I was like, "Okay, cool." So I sat down and just made a bunch of artworks for the mixes that I'm doing. Because I know I'm going to do the mixes and also put the playlist. So I've got like a 30 minutes of J. Cole playlist coming. So I just went through all of my favourite J. Cole songs and put them into the playlist.
Sick.
Do you know what I mean? So that is preparing these little bits. That's something I've not really done before, planning ahead like this. I usually...
Oh, is it not?
No. Usually I'm like, The only one I do it with is my summer mixtape, because through the year I'll create a folder of bangers, and I'll get all the little bits, the acapellas and instrumentals, and make little edits along the way.
Okay.
And fully plan it so that by the time it comes, when I actually come to the day that I make it, I know exactly what I'm doing, basically.
If you make the artwork and the track list first before you even, like, that kind of gives you the push to know, like, yo, I've actually got to get this done, innit? The artwork's sat there. Yeah. My track list is here.
Yeah. I've always done it that way
with the mixes. I'll always do the artwork and that, like, maybe a couple of weeks in advance sometimes.
What I find is when I do the track lists first, I might do something and then halfway through think, actually, you know what? A different song would work better there. And so I'll swap songs around and I'll change the order around last minute.
That always happens.
And it seems to work better. Do you know what I mean? Or even while I'm doing it, what I might notice is I might notice a certain word that actually creates a great wordplay transition to another song in the mix.
I
just switch up what I was going to do and do it that way. Like,
when you actually go to mix it as well, sometimes, like, when you're planning your track listing and you'll put songs together, when you go to mix it, like, the flow might not sit right. So you'll just move, bump a track two places or bump a track here and maneuver 100%. Stuff around to make it, like, sit tighter in the mix.
Do you ever do drafts, or do you ever get, like, a part way through the mix and then just scrap it and start again? Does that ever happen to you?
Yeah, all the time, man. I used to do one take stuff when I was younger. Yeah. And if I got 45 minutes into an hour mix, I'd be like, right, start again.
Right, okay.
Sometimes I'll record it in chunks. If it's creatively, like, a little bit out the box, just to make sure it's super tight, because obviously it's a mixtape, innit?
Yeah.
You need to have it tight. So I might record it in blocks and then piece it together. I reckon 90% of the time I'll do one takers.
Yeah.
Or if
like
I
get, that, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I don't know why that is.
Good
Unless
shit.
It's like creatively, like, super outlandish, crazy shit going on, flicky acapella and bare beats.
Yeah.
But then even then, I'll try to do it, in the one take.
See,
really.
For me, it depends what mood I'm in. My most intricate mixtapes have been produced on Ableton.
Okay, yeah,
like
a
multi-track production. But
fully.
What I do is I make sure that absolutely nothing goes in the tape that I can't do live.
Okay.
So I don't want it to be some, like, crazy wizardry and then, like, I get on the decks and I can't actually do that.
Yeah, you're
shit.
That DJ where man pays to come and see you live and it's flipping
just 8-bar mixes.
Clanging convention.
Yeah, so no, I always make sure everything you hear on the tape, I can do in real life, but I really enjoy producing them on Ableton. But what I'll do, for example, is if I'm doing a beat juggle section, I'll actually record the beat juggle and then splice it into the mix.
Okay, yeah, that
Does
makes
that make sense.
Sense?
So the beat juggle, 9 times out of 10, will be live, and then I just cut that section into the mix where I want it
to
be.
Do you think, yeah... The art of the DJ mix is dying.
Oh, it's really funny that you were saying that.
Because I've had this conversation, and even in regards to Mixcloud, yeah, since he introduced the select and all that,
yeah.
I've not really talked to it, only because I've been giving out... I get the artists what I get paid and all that stuff, but when you've been providing free mixes for so long and you've built your whole platform off freeness,
yeah,
it just didn't... sit right with me to be shouting from the rooftops for people to pay to listen to it properly. Do you know what I mean? But one thing I've noticed is, like, the Mixcloud numbers have definitely took a hit. And I don't know whether that's because they're not signed up to select or people don't care as much because they can just listen to whatever they want with a click of a button on. Or maybe they don't want to hear 30 seconds of a song in a mix, or they want to listen to the full thing on Spotify whenever they please. Do you know what I mean? Obviously, you'll still have your core fan base and that there, but trying to grow it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know where DJ mixes are sitting right now, man. Like, I'll still continue to do them out of the love.
100% there's still a market for it.
There's a market, but is it shrinking?
Yeah, I would say so. But I think that's not... I don't necessarily think that's because more and more people can't be bothered to listen to the mixes. I think it's because the younger generation that are on TikTok are also on the streaming sites. So they'll hear a song on TikTok and listen to it on Spotify. They won't. The younger generation don't seem attached to DJs the way that our generation seemed to be.
100%.
Because you and I are both a good example. And when we had Shorty Blitz on, he's a perfect example of how the generation before ours was, of people would follow a DJ or a sound system. If they know a DJ is playing at a house party or a club, that's where they're going. Whereas I found like with our generation, it wasn't so much about, in some aspects it were, and they were always core fans, but it was more about, is it going to be lit? Do you know what I mean? Like, is the DJ going to be good? Not, is the DJ going to be specifically one person? It's just, is the DJ going to be good? And I feel like with the new generation now, the people that get their musical influence from TikTok, I think they're the ones that, is the music going to be on?
I think
they care about, is the music going to be on? Can I do my TikTok dance in the club?
We used to speak about this before we even locked down. Like, it was at the point where a lot of people were just coming out because they were like, just for that one moment where they hear the favorite song and can whip out their Instagram.
Yeah.
You get me? So like, it was semi already getting there. But that was the reason why I started my own parties again, because I only really got that when I went and DJed out at other spots. But when I build my own stuff, that was where my core base was tapping in, where, like you say, it's a little bit old school. They're there for the DJ.
Yeah.
They know what the vibes are going to be. Like, maybe the average Tom, Dick and Harry that's just passing through your spot isn't really arsed.
No.
You know what I mean? But
I definitely think the audience is shrinking, but the reason for that is because I think there's an older generation of audience that don't quite understand how to listen to online mixes. Or not even how, but where. They don't know about where to get it from.
The average person doesn't know what Mixcloud is. It took SoundCloud long enough to get out there, but then with Mixcloud, when people say, have you got a SoundCloud? And I say, I've got a Mixcloud, and they'll be looking at me like, some B-Tech SoundCloud.
Yeah, I still get asked today what my SoundCloud is. What's your SoundCloud? Like, it's Mixcloud. There's a Mixcloud. But yeah, I think it's because it's not a household name, isn't it? Like, it's a...
Yeah, true stories.
It's just
I think in the DJ world, it's definitely like a rising like brand. Obviously, Mixcloud's been around for time.
Yeah,
long. But amongst time the now. DJ community, I think everyone's having a go on there. Whether it'll ever reach the heights.
I don't know because I don't know how much weight Mixcloud puts behind a DJ's name. Does that make sense? Like, I don't really see like how many followers do you have on Mixcloud?
40k.
Exactly. So 40k, if that was like, if you had 40k on Instagram,
people
would look at it and be like, wow, that guy is serious. Like, he's got 40k. But 100. I don't feel like 40k on Mixcloud doesn't seem to give the same currency as an Instagram following, which to me is wild.
Because
that's 40. Bro, do you realise how many 40,000 people that is? Do you realise how big that number actually is?
That's my biggest following on any platform is on Mixcloud.
Yeah, that's
which is
wild,
why I'm a little which bro, is bro. Why I'm a little bit gutted that I feel like it's slowing down a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, I know they're obviously launching streaming and the branching out and
but for me
it feels like it's slowing down.
But I tell you what that is, and I'll tell you exactly why the consistency has slowed. Because if you think about it from a user's perspective on Mixcloud now, they can only play one mix three times in 2 weeks and they can't rewind. So at the moment, in my opinion, this is the angle I'm taking on it anyway, is more regular mixes keep people coming back to your profile because then they suddenly got another one they can listen to. If you could literally, 2 mixes a week, I think, is probably the sweet spot on Mixcloud at the moment.
I was doing one a week for 2 years.
Yeah, I know, but I think now is the time to be doing one a week for 2 years.
Because
people are, I think so. Because I think if you drop one in a month, people can only listen to that 3 times in a 2-week period. And that's a rolling 2-week period as well.
You can't even reload
Oh. No, exactly. They can't rewind it. So they got front to back three times. That's it.
I've even got my missus trying to listen to them at the minute. She won't pay for the select. She's like, I can't rewind the songs that I like.
Yeah.
Why not? And then I'm like, I've got to explain this.
So, yeah.
Like, to us, making sure the artists get paid and all, like, we get it. Mm-hmm. People that are in the music industry, they get it. But try and explain to the everyday person that has been listening to your mixes all this time, oh, we drop pay a fiver a month because we want to make sure the artists get paid. As great as that is and how much we appreciate it, does the everyday listener care?
Bruv, I'll be real, yeah. I've got a few subscribers on my select. I don't know exactly how
I've
many.
I've got 10. I've got 10 out of 40,000, but I've not even promoted it, man. It's awful.
No, I've got less than that. I've got less than 10. But I haven't had any money through. And they're like people that have been subscribed for probably
have to hit £50 threshold before they give you a payout.
Doing the maths on it, like, it should be more than £50. I don't know, anyway. But we digress a bit. But I think now the sweet spot on Mixcloud is probably two mixes a week, like, of good quality mixes, but short, punchy, good quality mixes. The exact same formula you've been doing for the last 5 years, basically, but now.
I stopped, man. Like, not out of, like, I don't know. It was just getting too much, bro. I was like week 157.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's great, but then some weeks, going back to the creative block, if I just wasn't feeling it, I'd end up slapping out the hot 20 tracks for that last couple of weeks.
Yeah, this is where it goes back to
what
I was saying earlier.
And the quality would take a hit then.
This is where it's going back to what I was saying earlier, though. If you have a creative day, if you slam out a half an hour mix and you're like, that was sick, I could do another one. What I think people should be doing is recording more. Like, have a day set where you can just batch record your content. And then that's a month's worth of content right there. Or if you want, you can hold on to three or four of them if you've done like an old school or a throwback mix. Or,
yeah, I think that kind of works.
Like I say, like a J. Cole special that's not really going to change. Obviously, he's got a project about to drop, but it's not really going to, you're not going to have to add loads more. I can just hold on to it. I've got one actually. It's like an old school bashment mix that I mixed probably 6 months ago now.
Okay,
but it's still gonna be relevant because I'm putting it out as an old school bashment mix. I'm just holding on to it until it fits the schedule.
Yeah, I guess you can hold the classic ones and the old school ones, innit? But like, because with mine, I was doing like, it was all new shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like new stuff from around Manny, and like I would always throw in some cheeky ones that I know other people won't be putting in theirs. You know what I mean? Just to try and put some new shit on.
Where the output of music has slowed from the artists and the labels, and people are taking more time to find quality music, mm-hmm. I think that's where you can, especially you, because you love to dig and search for that stuff. I think that's where you will shine and your mixes would shine because
I need they would hit the
target market.
Coming back this year, bruv.
Come back this week, bruv.
Forget about this year. To be fair, since the turn of the new year, I've hit a new wave. Yeah. So we'll see what I go on. Hopefully all my other DJ homies are feeling the same way, man, and hanging in there.
Oh, brother, I think a lot of people are in this same storm. Like I said last week. I'm just echoing what I said last week. A lot of people are in this storm. We're all in different boats. That's the main thing. We're all in different boats, but everybody's in the same storm right now. Do you know what I mean?
Yep, exactly.
It's like we're all feeling it just in a different way.
Yeah, 100.
But yeah, to go back to your original point before we digress massively and went on that little bit, I do think the definition of DJing and what we do as mixtape DJs has fully changed. And yeah, I don't think that as many people now are clocking mixes as much as they would with streaming. But I just feel like it's
Spotify and Apple Music and all that has took the front seat right now, innit?
Yeah, definitely. But the question is, to me, a lot of those people are the ones that don't care about DJs anyway.
Yep.
So the question, the big question is, do we then, is it up to us to convert them and actually show them, look, if you give us the ingredients, we can come up with a sick meal. Do you know what I mean? Like, we'll take the music and give you something incredible that you've never heard before, mm-hmm. with your favorite music in a way you've never heard it. Are we trying to convert them people, or is our role to find the people that care about DJs?
I think it's a combination of both.
Yeah.
It's a combination of both, isn't it? Like, you're always trying to pick up new people. Like, you want to grow your following. Some people ain't clued upon the art of DJing. Well, you see some of the people that come in a club and come to the booth. Come on, man, ain't got off the foggiest about DJing, some of the stuff that we hear.
Yeah.
So it's one of them. Like, I've definitely converted people over the years that didn't have that don't have a Scooby about it. Mm-hmm. But like you say, yeah, tapping the ones that already respect what a DJ does, obviously.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what we all want, isn't it?
100%.
So, yeah. Anyway, digression.
Yeah.
We was meant to be having a nostalgic episode today, and we've just been talking about fucking Mixcloud.
Mixcloud, converting people.
Flipping heck.
Nostalgia.
I was going to take it back to the old days for a hot minute and talk about all the good times before coronavirus wiped it all out for 30 minutes. Just talk about something decent, do you know what I mean?
All right, okay, I've got a question for you. This might be difficult. What's your favourite memory from the DJ box? Any DJ box anywhere, is there one that sticks with you?
Obviously, the bait one is the Beyonce one, isn't it? Like, that's, yeah. But that's just bait, so we're not even going to throw that one in there.
That was quite a restricted one where you weren't really allowed to use the mic. You were given a group of songs that you're not allowed to play.
Yeah.
And the technical side of it, playing in a stadium,
yeah,
plus the fact you weren't playing to a dance floor.
Bro, there was no booth monitors.
No, so this is what I'm saying. So listen to the question again then. That was your biggest job, but was it your favorite memory?
I just remember standing there and looking around and thinking, fam, this is my ends.
Yeah.
This is where I live, yeah. And I'm playing in one of the biggest stadiums. Obviously, I don't support Man City, but to just be in there and standing in the middle of the pitch and looking around, and there's, I don't know how many thousand people was in there that day.
But thousands, yeah, mate, I was there.
That one definitely sits. But I think It might have been the first New Year's Eve jam party that we threw.
Okay.
When the brand was just starting to take off, and we realised that we had something that was just selling itself off just pure good vibes and energy. It was just off pure vibes and energy. And we were like, can we really... I think it was a 1,000 capacity venue, that first New Year's Eve party we did. So we were like, can we even do this?
Yeah.
This is a big club. This is like, God, it might have been like 9 years ago or something now. Bro, I think 1,200 people came through that night.
Wow.
Bear in mind, what was the cap? people in and out and that leaving, and it was definitely over capacity at some point. So we did a project jam, and it was like a Project X party.
Right.
So we had a big net. Basically, like, okay, let me break it down. The room was like a big circle. Bottom floor, dance floor, big circle. Top floor, balcony going around, big circle. You look down into the bottom. The DJ booth was on the second floor, looking down into the pit. We tied a net around the whole top thing going over the bottom dance floor and filled it with thousands of giant inflatable animals.
whose job was it to inflate those animals?
Bro, we did it all ourselves.
Oh, mate.
So we filled all that up, but then we put like beer pong tables everywhere. And then before, like for the first hour of the night, we did like beer pong tournaments and everyone was vibing. It was sick. And I just remember looking out at the cat on the countdown. And then when it hit midnight, we let the net loose.
Yeah.
Bro, there's fucking giraffes flying across the room.
Yes.
Big giant blow up sharks and all that. And I just remember, I remember just looking at G2 Infusion and thinking, boys, like, look what we've done here, innit? Like, with no promo team, just literally, there's three DJs. At the time, DJs doing events on their own without promoters, it was quite rare back then. Didn't really see it too much. Maybe down south, but you didn't really see it in Manny. I think we were the first couple of DJs to really be like, do you know what? We can do this without promoters. Let's just do our own thing.
Yeah.
I just remember looking out and seeing 1,000+ people, bro, just having the littest time and just thinking, boy, like, we've done this, innit? Like, there's playing gigs to big rooms, but then there's building the gig, filling it yourself,
fully,
and then
playing it,
and it's full of nothing but good energy, friends, people that you know. Do you know what I mean? And we hand delivered a lot of them tickets. So that's how we built our rapport with our following. We would go and meet these people face to face and be like, yo, what's going on? Boom, 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 boom. Do you know what I mean? So no one felt like disconnected from the DJs.
Yeah.
But that's probably a standout one. Definitely. Because combining the events with DJing at that time, it was a completely new thing to us. We were just rolling with the punches. We didn't even know if we could even do it. If we even had the weight to fill a big ass venue like that. And it was off the back of that, it allowed us to launch it as a weekly event, and we sold out for like 2-3 years after that every week.
It's so interesting, isn't it? Because it's like, see the stadium job that you did. On paper and on social media, that is the type of job that most DJs would cut off an arm for. Yep. Do you know what I mean? Like, warming up for Beyonce and Jay-Z on their tour, doing it in front of thousands of people. But those type of jobs, like, they're cool. Don't get me wrong. Like I, the similar one that was when I did Wildlife down in Brighton.
Or that one looked sick.
Bruv, it was off the hook. Like, it was, and going back to it, that was one of my favorite DJ memories, but it still wasn't as good as I remember before I was even on Serato DJing. One of my residencies was a place called Bar Rogue in Brighton.
Okay.
They used to shut at like 2 a.m. or 1:30 a.m. I can't even remember. But it was just such a small vibe. It's about 200 people there. Like,
bro, them intimate small gigs can be so sick, though.
This is what I'm saying. It was so sick because I was able to just do me. I just played what I wanted to play, how I wanted to play it, the way I wanted to play it. Everybody
when,
else
when you get them crowds like, where they're just open-minded and willing to tap they want to come on a journey with you in it
fully.
They're the best ones, man. Like, the small intimate ones are dope. This, bro, to be fair, there's probably more, but like, off the top of my head, that jam one was the one that stood out. But now that you've mentioned that, there's definitely been one or two intimate gigs that have been absolutely off the chain.
Yeah.
And people are within your reach then. So like,
yeah, proper
man are like hanging over the booth and that. It can get a little bit sketchy because you don't want to smash up the equipment and that, but like, them ones are lit.
Bruv, there was a place in Brighton when I first turned 18 and I got my first club residency in Brighton. I only used to play like the first 2 hours. I think it was like 9 to 11. It might have even been 8 till 10. I can't remember. This is before, was it before the 24-hour licensing? I can't remember. But I used to do the early slot, basically warming up for a guy called DJ Shameless. His name was at the time. And
DJ Shameless, yeah, inside.
Yeah. And I used to do the first 2 hours of the night, but the rest of the week I was out in Brighton, literally 7 nights a week. I was out at a different spot, even if I wasn't DJing. And that time was just so sick. And like, I remember one venue in particular. This was all pre-Serato as well. Serato wasn't like a household thing. People weren't using laptops to DJ with. They're all using vinyl. And one place in particular, I don't remember the name, but you used to have to go downstairs and the DJ, it wasn't even a DJ booth. It literally was a table in the room, just by the corner of the room with the decks on. But people would just be...
Suspect.
The customers are just stood there next to the DJ. So the DJ's playing. And the amount of times a drunk customer's like knocked the needle off the record or something like that. Or do you know what I mean? Like, just put their arm down and like leant on the deck and the needle's gone and the music's all stopped.
How do these people not know? Like, even if you don't know about turntables, like, if I touch that arm, what do you think is going to happen?
I know, but it's just, it's stuff like that. I look back and think that was such a small, sweaty room, but the vibe was sick. Yeah. Those kind of vibes were just
little toupee on the head shell and that to hold it.
Yeah,
to,
proper. To keep... proper good vibes, man. It's that. Those are the kind of nostalgic things that I enjoy thinking of when I think about DJ. Like,
I think I tweeted the other day. I was like, I feel like we're gonna be so far away from bringing that kind of vibe back. Like, maybe clubs or whatever might be open, or bars are obviously going to be the first, but that sweaty rave underground bash, that now is COVID level 900, mate.
Oh, bro, think it.
Because they used to climb on each other, bro. Like, I remember in some of the jam raves, man, I'd be climbing on each other. Like, I remember when Bobby Smurda dropped the hot record, bro. I've got a video, yeah. But he goes, "Get up on my trap house," and the room is moving.
Yeah.
Like, it's like the ceiling is about to give way. Like that, just. If you're coming up to 18 now, 20, and you've not been out, I feel like you might never get to see that.
Oh, that's disgusting. Don't say that. That's horrendous.
Isn't it?
I've got a video from, it was early last year, early 2020, from my Friday night spot. I post it. I actually revisit it quite a lot on my Instagram. I'll repost it. And it's where I think it was the week Pop Smoke died. And I did like a montage of his tunes in the club, and the place went absolutely wild, bruv, like proper riots. Dope. And I have the video on my Insta, and I post it. Like I said, I post it quite often because I just sit and cry as I look through my Instagram. but yeah, those kind of raves. But no, I think it will get back to that. Even if not on a mainstream level. So even, let's just say, moving forwards, that the law forbids dancing in clubs or whatever, there'll be like...
It's going to be like going back to the 80s, bro, and that with all the illegal raves. It's just going to go into...
Yeah, there'll be little...
Man are going to do it regardless, innit?
Little underground clubs, they'll pop up and they'll just be... They won't be big things. There'll be little underground ones if it goes that way. Like little 100, 200 capacity clubs.
Where people
can get lit. But... Mad.
Mate.
Mad things. I'll tell you what I don't miss doing at the moment. I think, again, it's the same I probably said before, but the driving. I'm quite enjoying not driving and not, you know what, not sleeping in my car. I can't remember the last time I slept in my car, which sounds like such a bummy thing to say. But it was a weekly occurrence.
Oh, yeah, I've just pulled up and had a little kip on the side of the motorway.
Bruv, yeah, I would. I'd pull over in the little lay-bys where the police have to hide on the motorway, and that's where I'm sleeping.
You were putting in the miles, but I'll give you that. Like, I think my furthest journey to a residency was like 50 miles or something here, so it's, what, not even an hour. That
was my closest one.
Yeah, I'll give you that with the driving, bro. You put in the shifts, man. Anything above 50 miles, promoter, book me a train.
yeah, I started to do that, you know.
And then I would try and be productive with the train journeys. I miss that, me. The travelling, bro. Yeah. I'm like, the travelling keeps me sane. I love just bouncing around on my own. I love it.
Okay, so here's another story to drag out then. What is the longest travel story or the worst travel story that you have?
The worst travel story.
Have you got any bad travel stories?
No, do you know what? I've been quite lucky with travel, you know. I might have had one or two travel issues, but it's not been when I've been DJing, though.
Right.
I went Egypt with the missus.
Yeah.
And we went Cairo to see the pyramids and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I remember getting the plane out of Cairo to go back to Sharm. And like the dude on the check-in desk was just like having a bifter in that, bro.
Really?
Really? And there's hundreds of people squidged into this little square room. It's roasting hot. Everyone's sweating. The dude at the desk is not even looking at passports and he's tooting a cigarette and that. I just remember thinking, I might die today. But I'm pretty good with travelling, bro. I've not really had many.
Oh, mate.
I've not had many instances, man. I remember going into New York. I remember. Was it with you?
When?
When we went New York.
Yeah, what happened?
No, I just remember going through security and getting absolutely scoped out, man.
Oh, that's thinking, normal. That's
thinking
normal.
I'm about to get nicked here. You know when they're looking at your passport, but they're looking at your passport, looking at you like this.
Yeah. No, last time I went to America, I went to see my best friend growing up. It was his sort of stag do. So we went to see his brother who lives in Phoenix, and we had to get a changing flight in New York. And so, yeah, landed, coming through customs. He was asking me, like, what's the address that you're going to? And obviously my friend had already gone through security. I didn't know the address because he knows the address. Why do I need to know the address? So I'm like, I don't know the address. And the security guard's like,
instantly,
or customs,
got flagged,
or police, or whatever. He's like, what do you mean you don't know the address? I was like, well, I'm with my friend. I'm traveling with my friend. It's his brother. Why do I need the address? He's got the address. And so he was like, yeah, you should really know the address. You need to find it out. I was like, how do I find it out? I don't know it. And he was like, right. He goes, when you get there, where are you staying? I was like, well, I'm staying at his house. Yeah, but what room are you staying in? Oh. Are you staying in a bed? I was like, I genuinely don't know. And he's like, how can you not know where you're staying? I was like, well, I've never been to that. Bruv, it went on for ages, this guy, like, proper interrogating me about, like, everything
American
to do with this
Border
house.
American Border Force, man. They sound deep, bro.
Wild, man. Wild.
Yeah, I don't have many stories on the travel front, mate. I'm pretty boring now. I've been pretty lucky. All my travelling issues, I've not really had any travel issues.
I had one last time, mate. I've got quite a few.
I've been lucky there.
Last time I came back, last time I did a show in Bulgaria, the flight was taking off, so we got up to speed on the runway, and literally, you know that bit where the front of the plane lifts off, and so you can feel all the inside of the plane, the seats like tilt back as it's just starting to lift off.
As it started to lift off,
massive bang. And then the pilot just slams the brakes on. So the front of the plane slams back down again.
What?
All of us like, slams the brakes on.
What about your belt on, fam?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Obviously, it's takeoff, innit? So you have to have your belt on. And he slams the brakes on. Brother, I've never been in a plane go from so quick to standstill that fast.
I wonder what that was.
I'll tell you what it was. A bird. A bird flew through the engine
as we
were taking off. So literally the front end of the plane was off the ground and a bird went straight through the engine.
Rough.
So they've obviously clocked it and then straight away slammed the brakes.
That could have got sticky.
Mate, we got stuck in Bulgaria. We were there for like 13 hours waiting for a replacement plane to fly in because they couldn't fix the problem in time. So they had to fly a different plane in. The worst thing was my travel insurance wouldn't cover it because it was, what was it? It was it was deemed as like an irregular event or something.
Okay.
And like, how is it an irregular event? Like planes, birds go through plane engines all the time. Like,
yeah, aren't they built to survive? Like, they're built for it, aren't they? To take birds in the engines.
Yeah. I don't know the technical side, but yeah, I mean, I think if a bird goes through the engine when you're really up high, you're not going to crash. But yeah. Obviously, the pilot, something happened, so the pilots didn't take off. But yeah, I didn't even, because I was sat there all day, 13 hours in this airport, and there's me with the people that I was with. I was just like, doesn't matter, lads. We're getting paid for this, if you think about it. If it goes past 12 hours, you get even a certain amount. Like, there's certain thresholds of how long you have to be delayed before you get, like, a big payout from the airline.
Yep.
And so I'm just sat there like, doesn't matter, lads. Just think about it. We're sat here getting paid right now for our inconvenience. It doesn't matter.
Sitting on planes is a pet peeve. I hate that stuff, man.
Yeah. It turns out after all of that, the airline, because you know the airlines are responsible for paying when you're delayed and stuff.
The airline
managed to wiggle out of it by saying that it was an irregular event. Well, I can't remember the wording they used, but they managed to blag their way out of it. Anyway, the pricks. So yeah, fuck Wizz Air and your pink aeroplanes.
Wizz Air. Bro, getting in a plane with a name like that, mate, I'm not getting on that flight.
It was Wizz. I think they might even be a Bulgarian company. I can't remember. But they're like Ryanair, but a really shit version. Imagine a shit version of Ryanair. That's what they were.
Yeah, that's bottom of the barrel stuff.
Bottom of the barrel. Just trying to think. I had another one. Another good fun travel story. I flew to Greece once for 6 hours and then flew home. Have I told you that before?
No. Oh, shit, actually, I've got one.
Go on.
No, I think I might have told it before, but it's semi like that. I went all the way to Dubai for a gig and never even played a record.
Yeah, you did say about this before.
And got paid and went home.
Because of the visa.
Because of the DJ license thing.
Yeah, you did mention that before.
So that's a long way to fly.
Just for a night
out. For a gig to not
play. To get paid. You're like an influencer.
Yep.
You did the influencer
thing. It felt great.
Did you ever get booked again?
By those people? No, because Rona hit. I was meant to go back out this year. Well, last year at some point. But
yeah,
obviously it's not happening because they're not flying. They're not spending peas on DJs and coming out and whatnot. So
No. So I flew to Greece. I can't remember how long it took now, but I had to fly from the UK to Athens and then change in Athens and fly to Kos and then do it again in reverse from Kos to Athens to home. And I was in Greece for 6 hours and then I flew home.
That's awful.
I was messed for like 2 days after because I obviously, you know what it's like when you're traveling and that. Like I didn't sleep properly, had to do the show. I can't remember. I don't think I got drunk for that show.
Them small little airports, like I'm going, if you go to Heraklion in Malia, that their airport, family.
Yeah, Kos Airport's a tiny little. It's like
it's awful.
The size of the studio.
I think they had a little bit of an upgrade last time I played there. Actually, it looked a bit better. Like you could get hot dogs and shit. That was like as good as it went.
I went to an airport in Thailand once where, and I shit you not, yeah, I promise this is the truth. We stepped off the plane and had to walk. They didn't have any of the buggies or buses and stuff to drive you around. We had to walk from the plane to the terminal. And no bullshit, the terminal was about 8 bamboo sticks in the ground with like a thatched roof. That was the terminal. No walls, nothing. And literally,
where was this?
This is in Thailand. What's the island called? I think it was Koh Samui Airport.
Okay.
I think. But this was like 2007, I think I went there. 2008, maybe. But yeah, I remember like no customs, nothing. Just literally like not even a, it wasn't even a shack because it didn't have walls.
A little fat tot, a little fat tot in that.
No, it wasn't a hut. It was no walls. It was like, it was a gazebo. That's what it was. The airport.
Oh my
the airport.
God.
Was a wooden gazebo.
So well, I just miss everything that's involved in it, man. Traveling, linking promoters for the pre-match meal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Go and get a food beforehand. And then just the networking side of it, man. Getting lit with the new ravers. Like, just, oh, bro, I just miss all that side of it now, man. I miss it. Mm-hmm. The not being able to move around freely. Bouncing up and down the country, bouncing over to Belfast in the summer, just jumping all over Europe, island hopping. Like,
did you see the news article this week about the visas? Now we spoke about the visas before, but
I think I seen something
about how the UK government apparently rejected. I didn't read the details into it, but I'm just going off the headline. The UK government rejected the notion of a visa-free travel for musicians.
Yeah.
So it means if DJs or musicians go to Europe now from the UK to play, they have to get a visa. Do you think that will? Do you think that will mess up the chances of UK DJs getting booked in Europe? Because obviously, you and I and loads of the guys around us are in and out of Europe all the time, different countries doing gigs. Do you think now the European countries will just stick to their own DJs?
It's hard to say, man. Like, it's whether this is like, we're not really going to know the full extent of it until DJs actually try. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be hard for, it's like some DJs will cut deals over the summer with promoters and like gig swap and you could bounce around really easy anywhere in the EU. Like, yeah. Even just doing that now is going to get very, like, it's just going to get very awkward, isn't it? Mm. I feel like the DJs that are still going to be able to move are maybe ones that have people looking after them, management, people that can jump through all the loopholes for you and
either that or the ones with,
and make sure your shit is proper, innit?
Yeah, or the guys with dual passports.
Yep, all that.
Anyone that's got a dual passport, they can jump in and out, bruv. Do you know what I mean?
I think it's hard to say. I think it's hard to say, man, for now, until we maybe by the summer we'll know what's going on, innit? Yeah. If people get to DJ this summer.
I guess it's going to be difficult to tell whether it's a visa problem or the case of clubs wanting to claw back the profit that they've lost, so they don't want to spend more money on guest DJs.
True.
Do you know what I mean? It could go that way.
I think the longer it goes on, bro, this, we could be hitting a potential like full reset where it's new club owners and new people with money are coming in and reopening establishments and starting new establishments. Depending on how long this goes on for, innit?
Maybe.
I'm hearing every week now that our venue's closed.
But again, that could just be businesses closing and going into liquidation to protect themselves.
Possibly.
And then at the end of this, they just start up under a new name.
True stories.
They've written that business off. They say to the landlord or whatnot, right, okay, we've got a new name now, we can start trading, we can start paying you rent. Mm-hmm. It might literally just be a way of writing off all of this debt.
I'm seeing club owners like turning to like restaurant owners.
Well, see, this is
flipping businesses, I mean, like sacking off the club business and going into the food market and stuff like that. I've seen that recently.
Yeah, I mean, I know a couple of club owners and stuff, and their fingers are spread across loads of pies, all outside of the music
multiple
industry
pies.
As well. There's multiple pieage, definitely. Like there's people with like parking contracts at Heathrow and stuff. They own a car park at Heathrow and things like this. Do you know what I mean? Like different types, like different properties and things outside of the nightlife sector. And I think it's probably those guys that are going to benefit the most because they've got the multiple revenue streams. They can then pump it back into the clubs when they open up again. So it's like, I think it's those guys are probably going to win. And they're the guys, the ones that I know of anyway, have independent clubs. They're not part of a huge chain.
Okay. Yeah, I hear
so
that.
I think those are the independent clubs that are...
Yeah, that's the good thing if you have multiple streams, man. If one's taking a hit, you can balance the books out across
massive
your other incomes and still keep shit moving. Do you know what I mean? I think that's proper... But I feel like now more than ever, we've said this already, like DJs are just adapting and creating these income streams now from other angles anyway, because it's survival right now, brother.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? People are flipping all sorts of hustles.
Yeah.
I'm here for it. Yeah, but yeah, hopefully it don't go on much longer because I've had enough and we're going to run out of stuff to talk about. We run a fucking DJ podcast. We've not DJed for a year. Like we're gonna run out of stuff to talk about, mate. No
next
gas.
Next week we're gonna be giving decorating tips.
Yep.
And as soon as I fix this roof in the studio, I'm gonna be talking about how to fix the leaky roof in the studio if it ever happens.
I said it to Double before, he's like, what are we gonna talk about tonight? I was like, I don't know.
Did I ask you before? I can't remember if I asked. Have you learned any skills? Did I ask
you? Yeah, we had this on the last one.
Oh, right, sorry.
But mine's just topping up of what I'm already working on, just learning more on the visual front, camera techniques, shooting, editing. I learned how to use Streamlabs the other day and set up a load of... there's a gaming streaming company local that want to use the space to do FIFA tournaments and shit, so I had to set up all their stuff.
Nice.
Mine's just really just topping up the knowledge that I'm already working on, mate. I'm trying to move into the video world like fully if I can.
Yeah.
That's the plan of action. We'll see what I go on, mate. Right now we're just two grumpy DJs.
I'm not grumpy, bro. I'm all right.
No, I'm joking. You're all right, mate.
I'm all right.
He's all right today.
I'm just looking now. Oh, you know what? How here's one we can talk about. Might help some people out. How organised is your music library?
It's pretty decent, you know. Actually, I've mine's just genre related.
Yeah,
mine's just split into genre crates, really. I did have a load of crates built for my different residencies, and
So for different club nights and stuff, you had different crates, yeah?
Yeah. For like my Wednesday was like a student heavy, even though it was like army and hip hop and that. You did have to slot in certain bits that I won't play anywhere else, so I'll just have that in a crate for my Wednesday spot.
Like what? What kind of songs?
Oh, for God's
Kings
sake.
And Leon. Are you playing Mr. Brightside?
Nah, like Insomnia and shit like that.
Really?
Remember all them rhythms?
I tell you what, you lot up north, you love all that trance shit anyway, don't you? Like in Liverpool, isn't it like...
I don't know where people get this shit from.
That's what we hear about down here, is Scouse House.
Bro, Liverpool is not like that, man. Liverpool is a vibes.
Yeah, but are you just playing in the vibesy spots? Because there's definitely...
Yeah, there's some weird ones,
definitely. There's definitely like a trance night in Liverpool where the BPM is about 160 BPM. There's... Scooter. You know, all of that high-pitched vocal house
no,
stuff.
I didn't go that far, bro.
That definitely exists in Liverpool, though.
Just
definitely.
Like certain like house songs and that I wouldn't normally play. Do you know what I mean? I'm not house DJ.
Yeah.
So it'll just be little things like that. I never pushed it to the point where like the selections could be embarrassing. But just certain bits that I would need creating because I never played them songs in it. But nah, my crates are pretty organised. I've just left the genres there now. All my sub crates are gone. I'll rebuild them if and when we get back to.
Oh really? So all your sub, you've deleted all your sub crates now.
Now I've just got genres and then my crates for my mixes.
Is that because they're kind of irrelevant now that we're not playing in clubs? You don't need the library set up that way.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, and then if I'm streaming or whatever, I'll just build stuff that way as and when I need to.
Yeah.
And then when we go back, I'll just start again, I guess. Everyone always does this library management, but most times I'm in the all section.
Really?
Yeah.
So that's how you find the next song, you're just in all and then you just...
Yeah, well, I'll just have it in my head and type it in. I'll jump in and out of crates, but I don't know. Most times, I use the all section a lot, man. Because I'll be flicking through and I'll see songs that I'll just be like, what? Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Let me throw that out there.
I think I've got too much music.
100%. I reckon about 7,000 of my tracks, I'm probably never even playing them. There needs to be a culling episode. There needs to be a clear out. And you know what? There's no excuse right now. It should be done.
It is basically something that should... Culling now, if you go through your music library and just cull a bunch of stuff now...
I feel like now it would be super cutthroat. I'd just be like, gone.
Yeah, but that's probably the perfect time. Because I'm not talking about rebuilding. I'm talking about literally just cutting off all the fat that you don't need. Do you know what I mean? Like, I have almost every UK garage song ever made, right? Like the old school garage.
Good lad.
Got it all because I remember I did a trade-off with a friend of mine called DJ Rome. We did a residency together in Greece. That's how we met. And I remember one day, basically, I think I just gave him all of my acapellas. Because I've got thousands. I've got thousands and thousands of acapellas. I gave him all of them. And I think in return, he gave me all of his old school garage because he was a garage DJ. And I think he ripped them all from vinyl. Like, massive library. Any garage song, even the fucking weird shit that you've never even heard of, just the most obscure records, type it in and it's in there. But I realised, like, bro, I don't really even like garage.
This is it, man. You offload it to a hard drive most times, isn't it?
Yeah, why have I got every garage song ever made if whenever I do play it, if I ever play it, which is a rarity, I'll dip into about 15 minutes tops. And that's just the bait ones. That's Flowers. I'm sorry.
I was about to
21
say.
Seconds. Like,
do you really
obvious,
like it?
All the obvious garage songs that you need for a commercial night. Do you know what I mean? So I was like, I need to get rid of it. So what I did was, whenever I listen to a song, whenever I play a song out, I always put a cue point at the start of the song.
Okay.
So I just went through the garage library, looking at any song that didn't have a cue point on it, got deleted, gone. Because I got this library of songs, I'm not even joking, probably like 7, maybe 8 years ago from Rome. And if it hasn't got a cue point,
some of them
in
still haven't
years,
even been loaded exactly. into the deck.
Yeah, yeah. Where the little
7 years later,
at the top,
when it forms,
if it hasn't been played, the file's not even been analysed in Serato. So if it hasn't been played in 8 years, the chances of me needing it are so slim that I'm just freeing it up. I'm freeing up the space on my Serato. Like, it's gone.
It's the DJ in us, bro, you know, that doesn't allow us to delete certain songs. It's just the DJ in us, like, oh, maybe one day I'll play it. Seven years later, not played it. Like, it's you know, deep down, it's not getting played, but never. You just can't let it go. Delete it.
Oh, I didn't get rid of them forever. I moved them. I have an external hard drive where I call it my ultimate backup, and it's my entire music library. Every MP3 I've ever had is on that hard drive.
Okay.
So it's not gone forever, but it's just not on the laptop.
Jesus Christ.
They're not clogging up my Serato library. Okay. That makes sense. Because when you go into the all on my Serato, bruv, it's a mess. Like,
how many songs are on yours?
In my hip hop and R&B crate, I've got 12,000.
No, like in your whole Serato.
I don't know. I'm just saying, in my hip hop and R&B crate, I have 12,000 songs.
Right, okay. Mad.
Bruv, why have I got 12,000 songs? Do you realize how many that is?
Yeah, that's like, crazy. I've got 17 on my whole library.
17,000.
Yeah, that's my whole Serato.
I reckon I've got more than that, because I reckon I've probably got about 8,000 dancehall and reggae songs. But again,
this is the thing. If you're a dancehall DJ and you're collecting rhythms, one song is 10 versions.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's what I did as well. There was a stage where every single rhythm that got released, I was getting. Even if I didn't like it, I was still downloading it and keeping it. Even if I was never playing it out, I had it just in case.
I need them dancehall plugs, man. I need a good site.
I
do not need an illegally downloading website. I'll take that back. I'll take that right back. I need a good streaming site. Shh, guys, you didn't hear that from me.
Yeah, you're going to start ripping them off of YouTube videos,
I imagine.
But yeah, like, I think library now is a perfect time, actually. Yeah, so for people listening now is the perfect time to just cull. Yeah. Go through all them random acapellas that you don't need on your main DJing laptop. Take it off. Clear the noise.
I want to get it down to like 10,000 in
Even
total.
That's a wild number, bruv. Like,
nah, it's not really for all the massive. Different situations. Like, if you do like corporate bits, student gigs, R&B hip hop gigs, like radio stuff, streams, I feel like that variation.
There's still going to be a lot of crossover, though.
Yeah, I thought he was going to say a lot of crust. I was going to say defo.
There's going to be a lot of crust.
Defo,
as well.
A lot of crustiness in there. I go back to like when I was doing radio full time, drive time, and I was getting all the promos, and I would just download them, and like some awful, like the dudes that just, when you get like a song from an artist off a mail out once, and you never hear from them again.
Yeah.
And I've got so many of them.
I have from when I was doing radio.
I need to clear out.
When I was doing radio, because I used to really meticulously plan my shows. Because obviously doing it on the station, I don't know about your station, but the station I was on, every 20 minutes, there was an ad break.
Yeah, yeah, same.
And it counted down. So I had to make sure my radio show was broken up into
20-minute segments.
9 20-minute segments. So I had a 3-hour show.
Oh, is that if you pre-wrecked it?
No. So it's just, these are my crates. I had everything in the order that it was going to be played, so that when I was on air, I just had to go down through the thing.
But okay.
I have all of those crates still on my Serato, dating back to shows that I did in 2015.
Mad.
Do you know what I mean? Like weekly shows as well. So I've got to go through all of that and get rid of all, like you say, all the artists that popped up with one song, made it on the radio show, but then the, just disappeared.
Never to be heard of again. Yeah, I think I might. That's getting added to my task list for this week, man. I'm going to do it. I know it might take about 4 days, but
it's going to take a while.
I'm having a go. I'm having a go. Well, this episode was random as hell.
This was a bit. Thanks for that.
I was checking how long you've been recording for.
All right. Yeah.
Because man's in the studs and he's about to have his dinner. Yeah.
Is that time? Yeah.
that time again. Eating at, I don't know what time it is. 9:45. Lovely stuff.
Yeah. So I think that probably covers everything that we're just freestyling about in today's one.
Yeah, freestyle today. We've had a couple of freestyles, man.
It's all good for the conversation. Oh, before we go, before we sign out, for everybody listening, actually, I don't know if you know about this. There's a listener to the podcast, a guy from the States. Name is DJ Audio One. He had, I think it was last week, he had a stroke during his Twitch live stream.
I've seen it, man.
And
Jesus.
He ended up in a really bad way. He's in hospital. Obviously, he's in America. I'm not entirely sure on his situation, but healthcare in America is ridiculous. I don't know his personal situation, whether he's got health insurance or if he's paying for it. But as everybody listening will know, if you're a DJ and he is a full-time DJ, then DJing is the income. And at the moment, he's not actually able to DJ. He's not able to do his live streams.
I think the Twitch was like his sole income, innit? He was putting everything. He was grinding it out on there, bro. I'll give him that.
Yeah, he was. And he was a regular listener to the podcast as well. He was always getting involved in the conversation, interacting with us. So what we've done, by the time you guys are listening to it, what we've done is posted a link to a fundraiser that was set up by his brother. So the link's out there on our Twitter, at TalkOverPod. Just wanted to post that link for... Yeah, it's basically a fundraiser, so... he can help cover the bills. The guy's got a family, he's got kids,
I think he's back at, I'm not 100% sure, but I think he's in recovery, he's recovering.
Yeah.
I think
he's
got his brother being a spokesperson on the socials for a minute while he's getting his stuff together.
Focusing on his recovery and that. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I like to think that if I was in the same situation, that the DJ community would come together and do you know what I mean? Like, my bills would be all right. So I'm just, what I'm saying is the link is there on the TalkOver Pod. So even if you've got like, even if 100 of us put a fiver in, it's £500.
Trust me.
That could cover the guy's mortgage for the month. Do you know what I mean? So
100%.
It's, yeah, at TalkOver Pod on Twitter, and we're going to pin the link.
Shout out the Audio, link. Man. Get well soon, my G.
Get well soon,
if
DJ
you listen to
Audio
this.
One.
Some madness.
Yeah, I'm glad I've remembered. I almost forgot to say that, but I'm glad I.
No, that's a perfect way to sign out, still, man.
So yeah, at TalkOverPod on Twitter, and like I say, even if it's just £5, just help the guy pay his bills and whatnot while he's recovering, because he's been out there like the rest of us, grafting and trying to do his thing. So it'll obviously help.
Yo, bro,
him
he's got his Twitch popping as well, you know.
Yeah, so this is what I'm saying. It's gonna help
him. He's putting in that work.
Well, I think if we do contribute, then it allows him to just sit back and take away the stress of having to make that money. Do you know what I mean? Like I say, it's, well, everybody knows now, isn't it? Like, the link is there. So if you have the means to help another DJ out in the community, who's so he can focus on his health, basically.
Yeah, man. That's proper. That's stops.
Shouts to Audio One. Get well soon, bro.
All right, my guy.
Hashtag TalkOverPodClart, at TalkOverPod on Twitter, and of course Instagram as well. And keep your eyes peeled on the socials, because we've got some extra content popping up. I saw you. You're just about to throw it in there, weren't you? Extra content will be coming very, very shortly, and it's stuff that basically everyone can get involved in as well. So
and we got some lit guests as well. We need to get back to the guests.
They're coming next week.
We've done enough now.
Yeah,
we need guests,
that's it,
mate.
So
don't want to talk to you anymore.
We're bringing the guests back from next week, and that's it, we're out. This is the longest outro ever.
Big ups, you big fat nostril.